It's a new year. We call it 2017, huh? 2017. And as we face into the new year, a lot of times what we end up doing is reminiscing a little bit about the year that passed. This year we call 2016. And we look back, and as a lot of years, boy, it had ups and downs and all kinds of things going on. You remember when the year started, the Broncos won a Super Bowl. The sports world continued to be pretty great through the Summer Olympics. We had some amazing, athletes get a lot of gold there in the Summer Olympics. I think of Simone Biles, and all their gymnastics. What a powerful little athlete. But there were other things going on in the world that were more troubling. We had a lot of tension, if you remember, between law enforcement and some African-American communities in particular over racial profiling and all that, and that was simmering in the background. We also had that war in Syria and Iraq. We have some involvement with both of those things, and it didn't go very well, or it was pretty brutal. It's tough. Amazingly, towards the end of this year, I don't know if you kept up on this one, but Colombia got a peace deal. Whoa, 50 years of war there. So I hope that one holds. So here's another kind of surprising thing that happened. Weather-wise, it was all over the place. I think of the record rains in the southeast, which we really didn't think about much, but we're really devastating for them, and record crops in the Midwest. Another thing that kind of flew under the radar a little bit. Interesting, though. And I suppose as we look back in 2016, the thing that will stick in our minds most is a presidential election with all its twists and turns and surprises and contentiousness that came with that. As we look back on 2016, it gets you thinking, what's 2017 going to bring? What's coming your way? We know a few things. I think the earth is going to keep going around the sun. And we're going to get seasons, and it's going to spin, so we're going to get night and day. And we probably here are all going to have enough food, have warm places to sleep. We can pretty well bet on all those things. We can pretty well bet the Broncos won't win the Super Bowl. just think that's pretty guaranteed here. And we know there'll be ups and downs. Well, we know there's things we're excited about, things we'll probably bring our sorrow. I think the kicker that catches us is that we don't know when and how much of those things. We don't know if it's going to be a year with a lot of illness or health, with a lot of successes or some things that just really go poorly for us. And it would really be helpful if, even with that respect, if we knew when they were going to happen. Because if you know when the good things are going to happen, boy, you can really ride those well, can't you? But they kind of catch us. We don't always know. And if you knew when the bad things were happening, you could protect yourself. You could do something to kind of mitigate what that bad thing might do. You prepare yourself, if you will. But we humans don't have a lot of control over such things. Year kind of unwinds and unfolds itself, and we get broadsided and surprised, and a lot of things happen that we just kind of have to bear and live with. So I think it leaves it as a place of uncertainty and with maybe some anxiety, often. Well, pierces of anxiety as we look to 2017, wondering, is there some tough things out there in it, and those are hard for us. Well, of course, this isn't new to humanity in 2017. This has been going on all the way back. It certainly was the case for Mary and Joseph. We have this young couple in Israel, and it wasn't a great time in Israel. It was a terrible time in Israel. They had the Roman armies occupying Israel. So they had soldiers around from a different country who enforced their ways and their ways of being and doing in the world. And you buck that, and their swords come out really fast. So they were an occupied country. That's not easy. And they were divided in their leadership. You had the Sadducees, you had the Pharisees, which we hear more about because Jesus did more with them. We have the Zealots, and we have all these. They really had split leadership back then. It's not anything new to have leaders. And that kind of weakens things when the leadership isn't on the same page often. So they had that all going on back in the day as well. The truth of that day, of course, is most everybody was poor, very poor, poor beyond our thinking. Often survival was having enough food. Those were large concerns. And certainly Mary and Joseph were probably in that camp. These were people who now had this little baby. They were poor. And as good, God-fearing people, they wanted to do right by God. And that's what we read in our scripture today, too. These two were doing right by God by having Jesus circumcised, an uncomfortable topic to us males. And we're doing right by God by bringing him to the temple in a dedication to the Lord, that this was what you did. They knew the law, so what they could do to keep going with the law, they were going to do. They were doing right by Jesus. It hurt some things, that he was amazing, that he was unusual, and I don't know how they wrapped their heads around that, but that certainly had to be some uncertainty for them. When angels and shepherds are telling you some things about your kids that are, you know, like, over the top, like, what do you do with that? So I think Mary and Joseph are coming into this time period, like, wow, how do we teenage, we guess 15, maybe 17 at the top, as parents with this child, what's coming our way? Well, they headed to the temple to do what was right, and the temple was one of the most magnificent structures in the world of the day. You know, these were people coming from their little villages, which a house was about the size of our bedroom. It was rocks piled up, they had a thatched wood a roof on it, branches with mud, that sort of thing, simple structures, not much to them. And then to walk up to a temple where you have these massive, perfectly cut, squared stones, 10, 15 feet wide, 5, 6 feet deep, piled up 50 feet high, just for the platform. That's not the temple, that's just the platform the temple's on. I mean, it's just awe-inspiring. So you go on under the temple, inside, wind up the staircases to the top platform with all the colonnades all the way around it. And then, of course, on the one side is the temple itself. Herod the Great made all this for them. And the temple was made of marble, white marble. So you can imagine, like, how that popped when the sunshine hit it. I mean, just like, whoa, you know, these people are used to so small a thing to hit that beautiful temple up there. And of course, all the leaders of the country were there, where Mary and Joseph were walking through this temple. You would have people talking over in the kind of around those pillars in the alcove areas, and you'd have leaders around the temple itself. And part of the crowd at the temple were people who kind of volunteered and helped. They would serve this way or that way. We get that in the church, right? They serve that. And we think, I'm guessing, that, you know, Simeon and Anna are probably part of that crowd. They're helpers for the temple. They're helpers from the temple. But they weren't your average helpers for the temple. For these two had this incredible inspiration. The Holy Spirit here told them they were going to see God's Messiah come. And they believed it. They trusted this. I think of our two similar likeness would be Abraham and Sarah. They were promised a child. Well, that was a promise, wasn't it? One of the three things. They were going to get this child. And so they carried this faith for all those decades, that even when they're old, that somehow God was going to give them a child. So Anna and Simeon were kind of in that camp. These two, this, you know, somehow God's going to come through. I think of the verse in our psalm today that I like so much. It is, I believe this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. They had that within them, that they would see this goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And they held on to that through the years, faithful people. Well, of course, as you know, when Joseph and Mary showed up, Simeon somehow just knows. The Holy Spirit, we say, told him, inspired him to say, that's the one, this is it. And he goes over and he grabs that child and holds it to himself. And to turn to the front of your cover, your bulletin. I usually don't do this. No one's coloring or anything, so we'll go for this. You know, and it's a beautiful picture of someone's depiction of Simeon holding the baby Jesus to him. What I like is just the life, excitement, the energy that radiates for this. This guy is exalting. You can just see it. It's just like, this is, everything's different now. And of course, his words kind of follow in that line. Oh, you can look up again. He says, Lord or Master, let your servant depart in peace. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, a light for the revelations of the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. On the top level, of course, of that, we hear what he's saying about Jesus. That Jesus be light, be salvation, and he was the glory of his people. So we know something about Jesus from the words that he's spoken. But underneath it, I think what I find most fascinating is really what it says about Simeon in his life. He's saying, basically, my life's fulfilled. This is it. I've held God's salvation. And really, depart in peace is, I can go die now in peace. I'm ready to, this is it. There's nothing more, this is it. I can go and die in peace. I've had God's salvation come. I'm good. Wow. It gets me again thinking of that psalm that we did. The first verses are always favorites of mine. It goes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." That's what Simeon said. He was light and salvation. "Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Or of what? Simeon's saying, I have this light, I have this salvation, I have this stronghold. I'm not afraid of death any longer. I've held this Christ child. I am not afraid of death any longer. Pretty profound words. Wow, whom and what shall I be afraid? Well, these words have been parts of our Christian liturgies forever, going back centuries and centuries and centuries. And the main place we've used Simeon's words is in evening prayer. And we Lutherans aren't big into evening prayer, but it's in our hymn books, and we do use it at times, evening prayer. And of course, in that case, we're saying, "Lord, let us, your servants, depart in peace, you know, to get a good night's rest. Because our eyes have seen your salvation, we know it's here for us. And so we don't have to be afraid or anxious as we lay down tonight. It's good. We know it's good with you, God. Our lives are in your hands. You are our light, our salvation, our stronghold. Let's just rest. We know it's good because you're here with us, God. We can just sleep." So that's the evening prayer part of that. The other place that's particularly happened within us as a Lutheran tradition is we used to use these. We really don't so much anymore, but use these as a how we close out communion. So we've eaten at the table, we've tasted the bread, the wine, we've seen it, and we've used those words kind of as the blessing. "Lord, let your servants depart in peace according to your word. For our eyes have seen your salvation," God, "tasted your salvation, which you've prepared before the face of all people. A light for the revelation of the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." So we have used that in that context as well, and I'm going to try it today, of course, to pull it in. But for me today, maybe the place we need to use that the most is the fact that we are too in this transition period, culturally, from 2016 to 2017. And as we all know, there's uncertainties that come as we look towards the future, things that cause anxiety in us, things we can really get worried about. And we know there's going to be good things and bad things in all sorts of places over the year, but it gets us going. And we wonder how that's going to play out for us. Well, he's telling us, isn't he? It's light. This Christ child's light. And part of what I'm mentioning here is as humans, there's always this sense of darkness. We can't see what's coming always. We don't know. Sometimes in the personal lives, it's so bad we can't even see our next step. We don't even know where I'm supposed to take my darn next step. Heck with, you know, 50 miles down the road or a couple years down the road, this next step is tough. But in this child with us, there's this light, you see. Like the other psalm, "Thy word is a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our path." This light is with us. It's born to us. It's salvation. Now, salvation, of course, in our modern culture is a salvation of souls. You know, they're not going to hell, they're going to heaven, that whole thing. But salvation is a much broader word. It's about wellness, of being whole. And think of the troubles and pains in your life, the illnesses and things. That God is in your healing and you're coming to be well. That salvation. That the goodness and the wholeness that God wants for all people is coming in this Christ child who has come, whose birth we celebrated and still celebrate. Salvation is for you this year. Whatever the troubles or the pains, the conflicts, the health issues, that Christ is with you in that for healing and wellness and wholeness. Last one in the psalm was a stronghold for our lives. And you know, in this world, again, things blindside us, things come against us, things seem to beset us, whether it's from finances or people in our lives that are difficult to deal with. You know, whatever that is, you have this stronghold in your life. Another psalm, I think, of course, is the one they took a mighty fortress from, Psalm 46. You know, and it talks about even though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and wash over us, all that sort of thing, God is our refuge and strength, our mighty fortress. And then it ends, "Be still and know that I am God." But the stronghold is with us, so whom should we be afraid? I think of Simeon on that picture that you saw, just how he held that child to him, and just the light and the life that exuded there. But that's for us, for you and me this year. That like Simeon and Anna, we can know that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We will see the light and salvation, the stronghold of our God. Of whom shall we be afraid? Of what shall we fear? God's here. We're good.